Bernard Bonowitz is a man with a very unlikely spiritual history. He grew up years ago in New York City in a Jewish household. He attended Columbia University and got his degree in humanities. But somewhere along the way, he began a spiritual quest in Christianity, and especially Catholic Christianity, until he converted to the faith towards the completion of his college life. A few years later, he felt called to the priesthood, and he became entered into the Jesuits, with whom he remained for some 10 years. But it didn't end there. Bernard felt a calling to be a monk, to the contemplative life. And so, after 10 years as a Jesuit priest, he enters a monastery, I think somewhere in Massachusetts, and he lives as a brother with all of the monks, Brother Bernard. And at the 5-year anniversary of his first entering the monastery, he has to make the decision, along with the general community, as to whether to profess his solemn vows and to permanently become a Trappist monk, a Cistercian. And so his novice trainer, the novice master, conducts this interview with all the 60 monks in the monastery, these old, generally elderly, very experienced monks. And then he sits down with Bernard at the end of that, and he reviews their opinions and their thoughts about Bernard. And so he reads the whole summary to Bernard, and at the very end he says, "In conclusion, the monks believe that in 15 or 20 years, you might make a good monk." And Bernard said he heard that, and the fellow wasn't joking at all, and he got choked up because he was so upset, and he protested, understandably, I think, saying, "Look, I've given every ounce of my life to this monastery for 5 years, and now you're telling me that in 15 or 20 years I might make a good monk?" And he said his mentor was very good about it, and he said, "Please don't misunderstand the brothers, Bernard." He said, "These are very experienced people. They are very wise people, and I'm just asking you to trust them." Well, I don't think that did much to assuage him, to calm him down. But then he said, after 30 years in the monastery, that evaluation was exactly correct. 15 or 20 years, he might make a good monk. Now, I was thinking about that, and I thought, I've done a lot of weddings. And I thought, suppose at the conclusion of the wedding, I said to a couple, "You know, 15 or 20 years from now, you might make a good couple. You might make a good husband. You might make a good wife." Probably be the last wedding I did. But whether you're a monk, a husband, or a wife, or somewhere in between, the point is really the same, that to really live out your vocation the way God calls you to it isn't something that's momentary or instantaneous. It takes a lot of years and a lot of experience. And how often do we think that, you know, once we make a commitment, no matter what it is, we've pretty much made it. We've arrived. But then, like Bernard the monk thought, 20 years, 30 years later, you realize how little we really knew back at the time. Jesus today accepts the baptism. Not that he needed to accept baptism, because baptism involves the forgiveness of sin. So why does he do it? Well, he wants to join our family, the human family, with all of its imperfections, with all of its ups and downs, its sorrows, its joys, its disappointments, and its hopes. He immerses himself right in the midst of it all. And how does God respond to this? You are my beloved son. Now notice, this is at the very beginning of his ministry. Jesus hasn't really done anything to save us. And yet God, from the very start, calls him beloved. And it's knowing how beloved he is that enables Jesus to respond with a lifetime of love and gratitude to God, knowing his life was in God's complete hands from the very beginning. And so with us, with baptism. You know, God calls us beloved sons, beloved daughters. That's on day one. And nothing we can do changes that assessment of God. He loves us throughout. But our job is to understand that on our day of baptism, we were far from being complete. In fact, we could say it takes a lifetime, to really respond to the depth that God's love is announced to us on our day of our baptism. And if we're really smart about our faith, we realize that we are a work in progress. It isn't just baptism, not just our first communion or confirmation that makes us complete. It's our whole lifetime of response that really allows us to grow and become the person that God meant us to be. I saw a homily of Pope Francis not long ago on today's feast, the Feast of the Baptism. And he has a mass, and during the mass, he baptizes a number of infants. And how the parents ever got their kids to be baptized by the Pope is beyond me. But anyway, congratulations to them. But in his comments, in typical Francis form, he offers those very practical comments to the parents, and he says, parents, don't quarrel with each other in front of your children. You know, quarreling is part of the deal, but don't do it in front of their children. It really distresses the children. Good advice. But then he makes this, I think, key point to them. And he says, you know, as your children get older, they will study the faith, they will be catechized in Christian faith. But he says, and I'm paraphrasing, you know what? The ones that they really learn the faith from is you. They're the ones from whom they will receive the faith, because it's from you that they will see it and witness it lived out day to day in the context of family life. And I think that's a message that applies not only to parents, but to all of us. That God calls us to show our faith, to give witness to our faith, to model it to those who depend on us, those who look to us. Even if we're not parents, we're still called to give real witness to our faith, knowing that we are not perfect, we falter, we don't understand, we ask more questions than we have answers. Even still, faith can be imparted to others by the witness of our thoughts and actions. At our baptism, God gives us both the power and the pledge of God's help. Do we receive it? And do we reflect it? And if we do, who knows? In 15 or 20 years, we might make good Christians.